We'll use the children, the big children, and the little children. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." The fruit of our lips. Now, from the heart, the lips speaketh. And so we should be always thankful in our hearts so that our lips are prepared to give God thanks at any moment. Now, I sometimes wonder what good our life might be to God. What are we accomplishing for him? You know, we need to ask ourselves that question. We really do. Because sometimes we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We think, oh, look at what I'm doing for the Lord. And he doesn't need us. He doesn't. He doesn't need a single one of us. And yet, he loves each one of us enough that he has reached out to us and called us. And we are called. And he says, come to me. Believe on me. Let me save you. Let me reach out to you and touch your life. And let's have a moment-by-moment personal relationship. And that's what our relationship is supposed to be. It's as though he walks beside us. He is a part of us through his Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. And sometimes people get lonesome. They think, well, there's nobody who loves me. That's not completely true. And that reminds me, an announcement I forgot to make. Visitation for Helen will be from 4 to 5 at Sturge Funeral Home. And that's if you know where Jimmy lives, it's over there behind Camping World on that road that there where the traffic light is. There's a church down there about a block, and Sturge is right there. And so that's where the funeral will be. Visitation 4 to 5, and the service 5 o'clock to whenever it ends, and it's not going to be extremely long. But God wanted to have a personal relationship with every one of us. And if we have that kind of a relationship with him, we should be thankful. Now, when we as couples enter into matrimony, you would think we would be thankful for the other person. And most of the time we are. Now, I'm qualifying that, okay? And some of you are looking at me and wanting to know, what does he mean by that? Okay. There are times. The longer you're married, the more you're going to wait. Okay. You're going to be waiting on him, and he's going to be waiting on you. And that's a part of life. But if we love each other, we're going to wait. And one of the people we need to really wait on is God. God doesn't tell us, well, here, you be a big hero for me, and you do this, and you do that. No, he says something that is so important to us to really realize what it means. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. He is the only one who's accomplishing anything. Is not us. but we can be so grateful for what he is accomplishing in our lives. And that's what I want to look at this morning. And the title of the message is Giving of Thanks to God. And one time a year is not very often about thinking about giving to God, thanks, gratitude, but it's important. Several years ago, people knew that there was a God, and when Thanksgiving came, it meant something. Today, it does not mean what it meant 50 years ago. Today, it's a time for family getting together. Most people do not think about God. Connie and I have been in countries where there was no Thanksgiving, and that seems like a very strange day. Just like when there's no Christmas. Think of your life, what it means to know God and to be known by Him. He knows you by name. He's ready to fellowship with you. He is ready to be next to you, to be a part of your life, to make sure that everything that happens to you is part of His will. So, many of us, a little bit later this week, will sit down with family to overeat. At least a big meal. And we'll call that Thanksgiving. But I want you to understand that every day ought to be Thanksgiving. Every day. It should start with Thanksgiving. It should end with Thanksgiving. When you get in bed at night and you lay your head on a pillow, you ought to be able to say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in my life today. For the chances you have given me today to be used of you." That's what it should be. That I'm somewhat saddened that there's so many people in the world that don't understand who God is and what He is doing and how He is taking care of each one of us. But I am glad that as a church family, we can sit down and have our Thanksgiving dinner, and we're going to after this service. And we can fellowship with each other because we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. And that's what brings us here. You know, God gives us a purpose for our Thanksgiving. Do you know what that purpose might be? Well, I want to read some scripture verses, share with you. There's several verses in the scripture that deals with Thanksgiving, and we're gonna look at all of them before the morning's out. First one we're going to start with is 2 Corinthians 4:15. 2 Corinthians 4:15. And it says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God." It is not the devil giving you what you've got. It is God. Now, a lot of people think that they are doing business with the devil, and some of them are, especially a lot of the politicians. But our thanksgiving rebounds to the glory of God. I want to glorify God with my life, and I would imagine most of you would like to do that. That you would like to live a life that people look at you and say, "Wow, does that glorify God? Man, that makes me think of God." Well, that's what it's all supposed to be about. It's sad when people have to have much to be thankful for and they're not thankful. You just hear complaints. "Well, I don't have this," or "I don't have that." And look at all the things we've got. You think about the people that we are helping in India. They don't even have decent food to eat. They don't have warm blankets to put over them at night, and it's getting cold over there right now. Michael Privet is headed over there, and this is the 21st. He's headed over there on the 29th of this month. He'll arrive in India. And he's taking some of this money that we have been sending him as a church and some other churches. He's taking it to buy blankets so they can sleep warm tonight. When you got into bed last night, you pulled those blankets up and you were snug as a bug in a rug, so to speak. They don't have that option. But they will once he's done. It's because you are concerned about brothers and sisters in Christ, people you love. You've never met them. You probably never will meet them this side of heaven. But you have cared for them. You have done what you could for them. So it tells us, for all things for your sakes, that the abundant grace, the things that God is pouring into your life and my life, might through the thanksgiving, through our being grateful to God, give him glory. Now, God gets the glory for everything he does for us. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. For the Christian, as God provides all the things that we have need of, we should be giving him thanks. There are several verses in the Bible that deal with our relationship to God. So we're going to take them, we're going to go through them chronologically. First verse, then the next verse. And so the next verse that we have to look at is 2 Corinthians 9:11. 2 Corinthians 9:11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. You know, there was probably a time when some of you, like Connie and I, who have been married a number of years, didn't have all the stuff we thought we ought to have. When we were dating, I had a car that didn't have a door on it. She thought I ought to have a door on my car. The body shop I worked for needed the door. They couldn't find one. They took it off my car, promising they'd give it right back. And they didn't. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. I hope you've already thanked God this morning. I hope so. Because he's a good God. He's a very loving God. He's a God who really cares for us. The next verse that we want to look at is in Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. I'm going to group them, some of these verses, so that we take them in context. Nothing worse than taking a Bible verse out of context. And so in Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord." But it says, giving thanks always for all the things unto God. All the things he's doing for you, all the things he's providing for you. Sometimes we don't think to give thanks for illness or tribulation. Those are not things that we look forward to receiving. And yet, that can also be a blessing, because God is molding us. He's molding us to realize how good life can be when you don't have those things, when you aren't sick, when you're feeling good, when you're well. And we can thank God that he gives us people to take care of us, hospital systems that we can go to, where we can get help, where we can get treatment. Do you realize how many people across the world do not have a place to go? When they get sick, they have to stay home. No matter how sick they are, if they are dying, they have to stay home. And we have the blessings that God has put all around us of medical people who can help us, and help us get through situations. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Now, even though these things that as he sends them into our lives, and then he meets the necessities that we have, we need to give thanks to him, even when we get sick. Even when we lose loved ones, that we know they've gone to heaven, that we know one day we will see them. And so that's part of what we need to give thanks for. We just need to be giving thanks all the time. I hope as we eat this dinner together today after the service, that you will be grateful for what is there. It is so wonderful that we can sit down together and partake of food that God has provided. Next verse, Romans 8, 32 through 34. Romans 8, 32 through 34. And it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, give thanks to God for him. He is standing at the right hand of God, or he's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for you for exactly whatever it is you need in your life this morning. Whatever. And it's because he loves you. Sometimes it's through the experience of difficulty that we learn about getting on with life. And we come to appreciate the good times and just work through the tough times. God wants to give you a good life. He wants you to be happy. He wants your heart to be full of joy. Now, who can ask for any more? He loves us. He wants our heart to be full of joy. He wants us to be at peace. He wants us to experience patience. Now, remember, don't pray for it. Not for me, anyway. You can pray for it for yourself, but not for me, please. Because tribulation worketh patience. And so if you pray for patience, long-suffering, you're going to get tribulation. And then from tribulation, you get patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So sometimes it's through the experience of turmoil or illness or a difficulty that has come into your life that God wants to reach out to you and show you that he is able to take care of you. I know Wednesday morning, was it Wednesday or was it Thursday? Thursday morning, she had an appointment with her doctor. She'd been in extreme pain for 2 weeks. Didn't tell anybody about it, but she was. Couldn't get comfortable laying down, couldn't get comfortable sitting down, couldn't get comfortable at all. Finally, she said, I can't stand it anymore. Need to talk to the doctor. She said, come on down. Sort of like Bob Barker, come on down. And they took look at a scan, they took a look at blood work, and they said, you know what? How do you feel about putting you in a hospital today? That was not on our list that morning, okay? We'd gotten up, we'd had our devotion, we'd eaten breakfast, But hospitalization was not on our list. But we had a hospital we could go to. And we did. And you know, they were able to fix things. They were able to fix things. And now we are thankful that they did fix things. And so, folks, even when tribulation comes, let it come. God's going to fix it. And he will give us a reason for being thankful. That's what he did. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Somehow or other, Jesus bore the same kind of sin that Connie experienced. That's what it said. The same kind of pain that you are experiencing. Jesus bore it without sin. He knows what you're going through. If it's an interpersonal relationship, he knows about it. And he's going to help you out. He's going to help you get through it because he wants your thanks. That's what he wants. He doesn't want our complaints. So he doesn't send us stuff to complain about. Think about that. He wants your thanks, so he's going to get you through it. You know, when we get older, for some of us that's a dirty word, but when we get older, we find a need for help and grace of Jesus. It may be while you are sitting in the doctor's office, which you will do frequently the older you get, and maybe it's you learn you have cancer. And you can turn to your Heavenly Father in your mind, sitting right there, and tell him, "Thank you." Is that the way we react normally? Oh, no. The big C word. We don't have to be afraid. God is going to do one thing with all of us. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, eventually, somehow, God is going to call us home. Home. Not to some foreign land. Not to some foreign place. He's going to call us home. We're going to be with our loved ones. We're going to be with those who have gone ahead of us. We're going to be with Paul. We're going to be with James. We're going to be with Peter. Man, what a privilege. We're going to be with our loved ones. We're going to be home. And that is where we are going to be. That's a good thing, folks. But God has to get us there. And that's the part we object to, most of us. God, I don't want to go that route. I'd rather go over here by the expressway. Helen had no idea that she was going home. I talked with her a week ago yesterday. I was with her for a couple of hours. I talked with her Monday. She had no idea that 5 days later, 4 days later actually, she was going to be with her Lord. Imagine her surprise. And that is God's intention for all of us. Whether we like it or not, we're all looking forward to going home to be in heaven with the Lord. And that's what his plan is for. We need to remember, and we need to give him thanks all the time that that's what he's trying to do. Like I said, Connie and I have lived in places where there was no Thanksgiving. And it sure feels strange. I feel sorry for the people who don't know to give God thanks because they don't know him. They haven't been told yet. Missionaries have either not gotten to them or they haven't listened. They've been prejudiced. But God loves them, and God wants to call them. Let me share another verse that's been a great blessing to my wife and I, and that's Philippians 4:6. I hope it's a blessing to you too. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let me read that one more time. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I hope that verse is as big a blessing to you as it has been to my wife and I. God is doing what he's doing in our life, and we have the blessing of Romans 8, 27 and 28. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What more can we ask for? All things. Everything. Whether it's a bump up, opportunity to witness to somebody, to show the love of Christ, to show them the patience of Christ, to show them that this is not important. What's important? It's been such a blessing to my wife and I. What an enjoyable time it is in our lives to be able to give God thanks for all the things that he is doing in each of our lives. We need to be careful for nothing. We don't need to worry about a thing. Now, you ladies who worry about, what we're going to do for Christmas. Are we going to get this Christmas gift or that Christmas gift? Or how are we going to take care of all that? It says, be careful for nothing. God knows everything you need. Jesus Christ is at his side right now making intercession for us. Let's go to another verse. Colossians 1. Now this is a long passage, but I think it's important that we know it. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 18. Colossians 1, 9 through 18. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossian church, making sure they understand what their relationship is with Christ. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Every day we should learn something about God. Every day. Something about God. Something we didn't know before. Something that we just suddenly realize he's doing in our life. It says, straightened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. With joyfulness. Verse 12, here it is. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Whatever Jesus is going to inherit, you're going to inherit. Part of that is heaven. Who hath delivered us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered us from Satan. I felt for the last 3 weeks that I have been under awful attacks from the devil. Attacks I did not understand, attacks I wasn't even aware of at the moment. But it came to light later and later. And yet, Jesus Christ has delivered me from his attacks. He has. I need to take care for nothing. Neither do you. You don't have to be concerned. It says, giving of thanks to the Father, which made us meet partakers of saints in light, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Think about that. Every sin you've ever committed has been forgiven you. Every sin, no matter how horrible it was or how costly it was to somebody, God has forgiven it you. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. Jesus Christ created you. Jesus Christ created this world for you. Jesus Christ has blessed you with his creation. Now, it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and since you are his saved one, a child of God, they were created for you too. Now, how can all things be a blessing to you? How many of you ladies like snakes? He created them. He created them. Now, they weren't always created like they are now. It's verse 17, it says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body. And this is the part I really like, the church. He is the head of this church. It's not me. It's not our deacons. It is Jesus Christ, the head of this church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is the one who gets the preeminence here. Now, once we've been made aware of that, that all that he has done, we have nothing to do but thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for everything that Jesus has done. Now, some of you know that I like bugs. That's those critters with four legs, six legs, eight legs, a couple dozen legs. I like critters. Some of you have even given me symbols of that. She's not here right now, but I have a butterfly on my wall that is very pretty that someone gave me when they came back from a trip. I have moths and butterflies on my wall that are real. They're beautiful. Jesus Christ made those. He made every one of them. He created every one of them. So why don't you think that brown six-legged thing that flies across your kitchen isn't pretty? Why do I always hear a woo when one of them shows up in our apartment? Jesus Christ made them. Now, folks, remember that. He made everything. It had a purpose. It had a good purpose. But sin has changed things. But we can know he is the one who made that for our enjoyment. When that bluebird sits outside your window there in the tree and he sings, when that mockingbird sings, these are all beautiful things. These are things that he made. He made them for a blessing for us, a blessing for him. Another verse in Colossians, this will be in the second chapter of Colossians, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, folks. We ought to go out of here praising the Lord. We ought to go out of here giving thanks to him for everything. Even that overstuffed feeling. One of the things that defines a Christian is, first of all, their Christ-likeness. I want us to remember that. If a person is not grateful like Christ was, remember Christ thanked his Father for everything? When he gave us the communion service, he thanked God for the bread. He thanked God for the wine, the fruit of the grape. He thanked God for everything. When he prayed for us, he thanked God. In John 17, read John 17, the whole chapter. He was praying for us. He was thanking God for putting us under his care. He was praying for us individually. That was 2,000 years ago, and he knew that 2,000 years from then, he'd be praying for you, and he is. Another verse, I want to get these three verses in anyway. In Colossians 3:17, and this we will do today, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever you do, do it unto Jesus. Not to pride or anger or anything else. Do it unto Jesus. Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer all the time with thanksgiving. How hard is that? We think, Lord, I gave you 15 minutes, that's enough. No. Hours. We owe him hours. There are hours we can pray. It says, continue in prayer and watch with the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. I hope that you remember the truth that I have shared from Psalm 66, verse 18. Remember, if I, and you can say the same thing yourself, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Folks, if we're going to pray, if we're going to spend time praying for God, we cannot have any iniquity in our heart. We just can't. It's got to be gone. It's got to be gotten rid of, no matter what it takes. Now, actually, we're out of time. I haven't heard any stomachs growl yet, but we're out of time. And I've got three more passages here of the Word. But do a word study when you get a chance. When look in your Bible, look up the word thanksgiving or giving of thanks. Let it change your perspective. Let it have a way in your heart. I was going to take time this morning for testimonies, but maybe we'll do that next Sunday night. Okay? You think about all the things you're thankful for. Father, we are so grateful that you have given us a church family. Father, that we can come here and love each other and love you and sing praises to you and Father, do the things that you want done. Father, help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to be your children and to be Christ-like in our activities. And may others see Jesus Christ in us, and may he be desirable. And Father, we ask that you extend a call to them to receive Jesus Christ. And we will praise you and thank you for all that you do, because we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.